Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hey, it would appear that Oakland linebacker Rolando McClain's assessment that the Patriots are, quote, just a finesse team was either incorrect or inspirational to your offensive line based on how the Pats ran the ball down the Raiders' throats on Sunday. Inspirational or incorrect?
Well, we, I thought we did a great job balancing the game out for, the first time in 4 weeks. It was really a game that was a big part of what we were trying to accomplish. So we were able to run the ball inside, outside. All the different backs ran it, and they ran it well. So, look, that's how you become a great offense, is you keep other teams off balance. You run it when you need to run it. You throw it when you need to throw it. And then you're able to do enough in both areas where they have to respect both. Mm-hmm. And we really did a great job of that.
When that happens, how much more space do you get? How much more time do you get? How much more opportunity do you get as a passer when the offensive line is doing what they did in opening holes for the backs?
Well, I think what happens is you're able to use your entire playbook, because if it's just a drop back pass game, then there goes a lot of the play action mm-hmm. pass. There goes some of your specific game plan type calls that maybe you really like against certain defenses, because it just ends up being drop back and throw it. And look, there's times where you have to do that too, and there's times where you have to do that in the game. If it's 3rd and 8, they know you're not running the ball. If there's 50 seconds left in the half and you're on your own 30-yard line, they know you're not throwing the ball or you're not running the ball. So you've got to be able to throw the ball when they know you're going to throw it, and you got to be able to run it at the end of games when they know you're going to run it. So, all those things, that's what makes a good offense, is being able to do those things.
You know what? My theory Sunday was, Tom, that they took their cue from Richard Seymour, the other guys on defense, and they wanted to get you. Seymour wanted to get you and was therefore, I'm thinking, more aggressive and less run conscious. His idea coming in this game was, make a statement, get to Brady. And he did, and I think he found the secret. You wait till after the whistle, it's really easy to get the quarterback.
Well, I'll tell you, let me say this. It was really loud at that end of the field, and it was right in the black hole. We're on like the 10-yard line. It was the first drive of the game, and they were going crazy. So, I could barely hear the whistle. I knew the clock had run out, so they when he kind of came through, he got me, and then I don't think that was a problem. But then when he threw me on the ground, that was probably more the problem. But it was loud. I mean, there was a lot of energy in the stadium from the time we got there in the morning at 10 o'clock, and we ran out there for pregame warmups. The crowd was into it, and they go down and kick the field goal to open the game, and then we got the ball deep in their end zone, in their territory, and deep in our territory, and I was really proud of the way that we kind of fought our way out of that situation. And we got a little help from their penalties, but still, to go down there on the first drive of the game and score a touchdown was huge for us.
You mentioned that Seymour is a good friend of yours, a good teammate when he was here. Did you talk, during the game, like after a play like that, are you trash talking at each other?
No, not really. He's got a job to do, I got a job to do. He's a professional out there, so he's trying to do what's right for his team. But there's not much. Maybe a pat on the back, as he's walking by. But for the most part, you don't say anything.
Did he apologize for being the only guy of 22 who didn't know the whistle had blown? Because 21 guys knew it had.
No, he didn't apologize.
No.
Richard never would apologize for anything like that.
Do we give the credit to Logan Mankins for making him disappear after that first drive?
Well, Logan played a hell of a game. And in that entire offensive line, when you're able to protect, because that's a damn good front. That's the strength of that defense is what they have on the inside. But to stop Tommy Kelly and Richard for the entire game, Cameron Wimbley, to run it and be aggressive in the run game. And then the pass protection was awesome also. They got to me, they barely got to me. So in any of the meaningful situations, we protected. We had some pretty important third down conversions that we had great pass protection. So they've done a great job, all year, and they're going to need to continue to do a great job, because you know, we really need that entire group, and they're playing well together, and that we really got to keep building from where we're at right now.
Tom, we think we know what Gronkowski brings to the team offensively in the passing game, but clearly his role in the running game was impactful on Sunday. When you ran to his side 22 times, you rushed for 175 yards. When you ran to the other side 7 times, you only got 9. Sounds like he's making a contribution in the run game.
I mean, I think that's really, you know, one thing that people underestimate from him is because he's, you know, a very good pass receiver. You know, he doesn't get a lot of credit for run blocker, but when you turn the tape on and he's, you know, at the point of attack, he's knocking guys off the ball and sometimes getting a couple guys. That's what tight ends are supposed to do. So it's no good just to be able to catch passes at that position, because then they just treat you like a receiver. But when you're in there and you can run the ball behind him, and he can become a real threat, and you can control the tempo of the game running the ball behind him, then that really helps him to set up his opportunities in the pass game. So, you know, that's another thing that was a positive takeaway from the game, and he's got to build on that also. He's got to, you know, we've all got to be more consistent out there, and I thought Rob, man, his run blocking was awesome.
Tom, do you agree with your head coach who said, quote, this was maybe Tom's best game in terms of some of the checks he made at the line of scrimmage?
I mean, I'm always trying to get us in the right play. I mean, sometimes it looks better than others, and when you win, it's always better than others. But, I mean, I try to be pretty consistent out there. So that's it's nice when he compliments you. You don't hear him too often. But, you know, it was a good game for our offense. I thought, you know, yesterday the flight home, you know, we really I think had a pretty good understanding of what we wanted to do in the game, and then sitting on the plane on the way home, we felt like we did those things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a real positive when you say, okay, this is how we think the game's going to play out. This is what we're going to need to do to win. And then it plays out the way you expected it to, and you did the things that you needed to do. So it's very satisfying. And, you know, coming off last week where we had lost the game, you know, you realize how tough it is to win games. So you really appreciate the winning, and you realize you got to continue to do the things that you set out for in the beginning of the week in order to win, or else, you know, you lose the games, and we accomplished that.
Hey, Tom, a little inside football question here, if you wouldn't mind sharing some inside info. 61 offensive plays you ran.
Yes.
How many would you estimate you changed at the line of scrimmage? Because I know all 61 that were called weren't run the way. Would it be 5%, 10%, 10 plays? I mean, just guesstimate on a normal day, how many times of 61 plays would you change at the line?
Not a ton. I mean, I don't think that's you know, there's different situations. It's just, you know, I'd say this, it's damn near impossible for an offensive coordinator to call a play on the sideline that will be good against every single defense that you're going to see. But for the most part, they are great plays against what you will mostly see. So, you know, it's when you get to the line of scrimmage, you have to evaluate what you have called, and you see what they're doing. And a lot of it is everybody being on the same page. And I think that's where I really have the confidence, is that if I do see something that I think we can take advantage of, I'm able to communicate that to the other 10 guys on the field, and they're able to get it in 4 or 5 seconds, a short amount of time, basically, and able to go out there and execute it. So that's really what the entire offense is about. It's, look, I can recognize something, and if I can't communicate that, or if I do communicate it and nobody gets it, you know, what good is that? But the entire offense being on the same page to see a different look, and then to make an adjustment to a play, either a minor adjustment like a route or a major adjustment like an entire play, routes, protection, you know, that's what how our offense needs to be effective. And we did it in a pretty tough place to play. So that's good, and that's good for us to be able to do. We're going to need to continue to be able to do that. And, you know, those little plays, if it's 2 plays a game where you do that and they end up being 2 big plays, you know, that's a big part of the reason why we won.
Hey, we all know 40 catches in 4 games is sick, Tom, but I guess the question we ask every week, can he keep this up? Can you continue to use him this way without wearing out Wes Welker?
Well, can he keep it up? I mean, I think if teams continue to play certain coverages, you know, Wes has had a lot of opportunity. So I think teams are pay attention to him. But at the same time, we have other guys you have to pay attention to also. And Wes is an incredible player. I think when the thing about Wes is when he gets his opportunity, he takes advantage of it, whether that's he has a certain route called versus a certain coverage, and then he's the primary read. Well, he's open, so he gets the ball. But, you know, I'm sure other teams are going to – they're really going to focus on him. I'm sure, you know, teams like the Jets, who are really a game plan defense, are going to have certain calls for him. And that just means other guys get opportunities, and those other guys hopefully take advantage of those. So, you know, it will – you know, 40 catches is awesome.
That's 160 catch pace, you know.
Yeah, I mean that's. I mean, no one's ever done that, so it's hard to think that, you know, you'll keep catching 10 passes a game. But and with Wes, you never know. And he's just he'll be fighting his butt off every single week, every single practice to make it happen. But you know, whether he catches 10 or he catches one, you know, he's going to be out there doing what's best for the team on every play. So that's the best part about Wes.
I know you're heartbroken. Have you heard that the Jets have suffered a number of injuries, that they're, you know, they got some depth issues here? Are you concerned for them?
Well, we've been join the club, man. This is we're all in this. We've had plenty of injuries over the course of our season, and every team does. It's football, and you know, that's why it's also, you know, everyone gets real riled up about the second week of the season, third week of the season, fourth week of the season, and depth of every team is really important, and how well the players can adjust when certain players aren't in there. That's what really plays out over the course of an entire season. So, you know, they'll be ready to play. They got a lot of good players. They're a tough team, and you know, it's going to be a fun game for us on Sunday.
Tom, do you by and large know and understand what the Jets will basically try to do to your offense on Sunday, or do you think that since they're wounded and desperate and have lost two in a row, they might change some things up on you?
No, I mean, they have their style of play. They have what they think they need to do to stop us, and we've had, I think, five games against them since I've been here with that defense in particular. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every game has a few tweaks to it. I think there's some overriding themes that you see over the course of those five games. So, you know, we'll try to figure out what they're going to do. I mean, it's tough because they're really, like I said, a game plan defense. Whatever they think they need to do to stop you that particular week, based on how they evaluate your offense, you know, that's what they're going to try to do to stop you. They're going to try to take away your strengths as an offense, you know, we'll see if they can do that.
To that end, do you expect Revis will be spending most of the afternoon chasing Wes?
It all depends on what they want to do. In the playoff game last year, they didn't. You know, there are certain times Revis mostly went to Deion. But, you know, you never know. It really doesn't matter because, you know, they got to cover everybody. And, If Wes is on Revis and Wes gets opportunities on routes, Wes will get the ball. So, you know, we're gonna, you know, approach the game like we always do. We're gonna, you know, all five guys who are eligible receivers are gonna have opportunities. We're gonna try to run the ball and stay balanced. That's what we try to do every week. So it'll be interesting to see how they play us. But you know, I'm glad we got a week to prepare for them. You know, we're gonna need it. And, you know, we're going to be excited to play when we see him on Sunday. It's been a long time since we played him.
Time now for our obligatory Ocho Cinco question. On Wes's touchdown, he ran a slant. It was sort of like a pick. Was he supposed to be as close as he was to Wes? Because that worked beautifully. It looked like they might have even touched jerseys as they passed in the night.
Yeah, I think Chad was so open on the play. You know, he ran a great route to get open that, you know, a lot of the times the defenders are a lot closer. So, I mean, it wasn't, there's no pick intended on that. You're really not even allowed to. The funny thing is, whenever we run plays like that with guys close together, we get called for, like, illegal picks.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, every single team in the league does it, and then you know, we run it, and we almost shake our head like, God, you know, it's you know, we never get any of those. But there was no, it was just a slant by Chad, and then, you know, a quick little diagonal route to Wes, and Wes had leverage on the guy, so I threw it, and Chad was actually getting open on the slant, so both those guys were open. It was really dealer's choice for me on that one, and you know, Wes made a great catch and run, and had I thrown it to Chad, you know, he could have got in possibly as well.
All right, before we let you go here, Tom, I have to ask, I'm reading in Mike Silver's piece on Yahoo that you were planning to attend a high school game, your high school game, your old high school, on Friday night, but the flight got in late. Were you really going to go see Sarah play, and you think people would have left you alone and let you watch the game?
Yeah, well, I was... We stayed down in Santa Clara, which is right near San Jose, and our team, ironically, was playing in San Jose that night at 7:30. So it was like a 6-mile ride from our hotel, and I've never seen Sarah play. Just, you know, going to Michigan and then, you know, being here every fall. Obviously, I've been busy for the last 16, 17 years, so it would have been fun for me to go and see. We were playing our arch rival because they beat us like 40 times in the last 42 years. So I was going to go check it out. We got in late, but they won anyway. So it was, it was fun. I texted the coach after the game and said, congrats. I wish I could have been there to seen it. It's a great tradition, that I was a part of. And I love that school. So just being there would have been fun for me, but it didn't work out.
And this was your first time being back in the Bay Area, your first win, which is hard to believe after all these years. But you, according to the story, you did, went through your old route, went to your old favorite sandwich shop and all that, and didn't get distracted. Your parents took care of all the ticket requests?
Yeah, my parents took care of everything, and it was nice. On Saturday, I got to spend time, you know, at home with one of my sisters and one of my nieces and my parents. So it was actually a great weekend. It's great that we won. That topped it all off. But just to be able to, you know, to be back home and be in the Bay Area and to win a game. And I had a lot of friends and family there to support that I saw after the game. But it's always nice to come off the field and see your loved ones. So it was a great all-around weekend. I hope we can have a few more of those starting this weekend.
Our latest update from New York near Madison Square Garden, where the gigantic Uggs billboard hangs on a building. It is yet to be defaced, Tom. Now, depending on what you do against the Jets on Sunday, it may look different come Monday morning.
That's possible, but I'm sure we'll slap another one up there right on top of it.
I bet your wife's impressed. She's never been on a billboard,
no,
has she?
No, guess not.
Never.
Hey, did our mutual friend Peeny sneak up on you when you were asleep?
Yeah, he did. I told him trim, and this is what happened.
Wow,
I know. I said, God, he got a little. When I tell him to cut my hair for the first time, basically in 2 years, he got really excited. So
he can't help himself.
No, he can't.
So just time for a little change.
Yep. It was time.
And that's it for the season. We're just going to let it go now.
Who knows?
Okay.
Depends what mood I'm in.
Quarterback question of the week. We wrap it up with this, brought to you by Auto Trader. Now compare brand spanking new cars and special offers side by side at autotrader.com. Tom, they say, after 4 weeks, the quarter pole of the NFL season, what do you now know about your New England Patriot football team you didn't know prior to opening night in Miami?
Well, that I think that, you know, when we're a balanced offense, we're pretty tough to stop. That's really what we've taken from these four games is that, look, we have ability to move the ball, and I think we moved the ball in all four of those games. And we've shown the ability that we can score points, we can get it in when we get close. But what we really need to do on a consistent basis is be really balanced. And when we do that, I think that's where we're at our best, is when we can run it, play action, drop back, screens, draws, traps, throw it deep, throw it short. I mean, that's, you know, that keeps the defense off balance, and they have to cover everybody. So I know it's, you know, for someone like Wes, who has 40 catches, you know, but Aaron Hernandez has been a big part of it. Rob Gronkowski has been a big part of it. Chad has made some plays. Deion's made a ton of plays. You know, Julian's made a few. I mean, the entire offense has really shown that we can all make plays. And when you're out there, you're going to be someone that I'm looking for. So You know, we're excited to build on it. We're so early in the season still. You know, we got a huge one this weekend. This is the one we got to go get.
Big one this weekend, 4:15, and I guess most people say they're not going to be lubed up at 4:15, just hydrated by kickoff, Tom.
Yes, well hydrated.
I got no comment.
We'll talk to you next week, Tom.
Bye, guys.
Thanks. Brady with Dennis and Callahan.